the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as he shifts and cracks. Where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, past the mills, past the stacks. On a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.
All right, everybody, welcome to Scaredy Cat. Sorry about that. You can tell how much I'm actually on the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, my brother. Filling in for my other brother.
All right. So welcome to Scaredy Cats. Of course, Mindy is hosting. I am just here to do the plugs. Of course, it is me, Doug, from the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast and all the other podcasts besides this one that are on the Everything Unscripted Podcast Network. So real quick to do the plugs and then hand it over to Mindy. Listen to Boxman and Smart, the Dirt Sheet Dudes, every Wednesday and Friday night. Mixer.com/Dirt Sheet Dudes. They can be found on all major podcast platforms. Usually around 10:15, 10:20 Eastern time, right after wrestling's over. Listen to us, or listen to the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Myself, Daniel, Eric, Stevie, and Clinton, if he's not working. Every Friday night, 6:30 p.m. Eastern time on blogtalkradio.com/everythingunscripted. This upcoming Friday night, we're going to be talking the Great American Bash 1996. So tune in for that. Also, Saturdays, this upcoming Saturday with the Unscripted Unlimited podcast, which will be Daniel and I, it's our new nerd show. We're not necessarily sure on the time yet. Daniel's work schedule may be changing. So we'll keep everybody updated on that. It used to be late Saturday morning. Now it might be early Saturday afternoon. But like I said, we'll keep everybody posted. This upcoming Saturday, we're going to be, and then this upcoming Saturday night, it's going to be pre-recorded, so it'll be released next Monday. But we will be doing another UFC retrospective. I'm not 100% sure. Daniel and Eric know exactly what the UFC fight is. They told me, and I kind of forgot. So, but listen to that. I think we're going to be doing two UFC fights again in one show. Also, we are on Instagram at Everything Unscripted Pod, I believe. I'm pretty sure I just fucked that up. Mm-hmm. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at @EUnscriptedPod. The Facebook groups, Facebook.com/groups/oldschoolwrestling. That's where we post a lot of the polls and stuff for the show or for the Unscripted Wrestling Podcast. Obviously, you can follow Daniel and Mindy on Facebook.com/groups/scaredycats. That's where Mindy posts all the updates for the show. And you guys have an Instagram too, right?
Mm-hmm. But I don't know what Daniel calls it.
Oh, good. We're both in the same boat here. So, all right, I'll leave you to it.
All righty. Ladies and gentlemen, my big brother, Dougie, who is filling in for my littlest brother, Daniel, who went home to New York to celebrate his best friend's birthday. He is on the way home, and he's probably listening to me right now, so I should probably be good. Hi, Daniel. So, yes, we are doing the Candy Man this week. A lot of people that know me, a lot of people that listen to this channel know that I am a huge, huge fan of the Candyman, especially the first one. The first Candyman actually came out in the year 1992, and it was starring Tony Todd, who plays the Candyman. Love Tony Todd, which you guys already know this, but such a good horror actor, man. He's got that ambiance and that voice. Like, it's kind of like how Morgan Freeman has the voice, but like a different voice, a creepier voice. Sagittarius. Also, as far as the newest Candyman that is being produced, not directed, I don't want to hear it being directed by him, it's being produced by the great Jordan Peele. And I have not seen it yet. It has been pulled from release, I think, like, 4 times, maybe more. You guys can correct me on that if you want. I'm not, like, objected to somebody correcting me. Sorry. But we are not doing that one because I can't do that one because I've never seen it. Little rundown is I do know that it's very close to the original. They're calling it a hard reboot. Normally when they call something a hard reboot, that means that they're keeping the story, they're keeping the characters, and they're keeping the legend. They're not changing that much. Soft reboot, they tend to change a lot more. So, that being said, first Candyman, like I said, came out in 1992. Danny Madison plus Tony Todd. Great, great on-screen chemistry between these two. She, Virginia Madison, was playing the role of Helen, who is actually a college graduate student who is doing a thesis paper with her best friend Bernadette on the Candyman, who is actually a very live legend in their world. Candyman is supposedly haunting Cabrini Green in Detroit. And I'm really sorry, guys. That was bad. Cabrini Green. I think it was in Detroit. But anyways, further in the story, Candyman is just an essence at this point. He doesn't really exist. Like, people know about the legend of saying his name 5 times in a mirror and all of that, but no one really knows concrete what's actually going on. Well, then Helen decides that her and her best friend Bernadette should say Candyman 5 times in the mirror, because, you know, what else should you do while you're researching something paranormal and really, really evil? Go ahead and summon it. That seems like a great thing to do. Good job. I wish Dana was here to make me say that. So cynical. So, Helen ends up being only one of the two ladies that actually finished invoking the incantation that brings forth Candyman. Just saying his name 5 times in a mirror. Her friend Bernadette was out at the very last second and didn't say it. Well, then you flash forward to Helen, she's sleeping in a bed, she's waiting for her husband to get home while he's out banging college kids, and it's just bad. And all of a sudden, Trevor jumps on top of her, and she starts fighting him because she thinks it's not Trevor. She thinks it's something else. And it ends up being her husband, Trevor. But then, later on, she does get confronted in a parking garage by Tony Todd, the Candyman, because she summoned him. And one of the biggest lines that this man says is, "Be my victim." And by that, he means letting him control everything that's going to happen in the next few moments or even the next few years of your life. But he wants it known that he controls you now. So he basically controls Helen. Shit starts going haywire. This poor woman, she starts losing everybody. She keeps waking up covered in blood. She don't know what's going on. She gets committed by her freaking Trevor, scumbag husband. And he moves in with his little college twit. And, yeah, so while she's in the insane asylum, though, the Candyman does come to her and sets her free. And from that point, she runs on to Cabrini Green to try and find the missing baby and everything else. And she ends up getting mistaken for the Candyman himself. And then she is buried alive by a bunch of rubbish and set on fire. But she does save the child. She saves the child. But Helen, however, is burned to death. She's like a charred marshmallow. She's ding, dang, dong. And because of that, she becomes a spirit just like Candyman himself. And Trevor gets home from her funeral. He's all upset. He's all destroyed. He needs an ambulance. He's just all beside himself. And he goes up to the mirror and he starts crying to Helen. He cries to Helen 5 times, guys. We all know what that means. Helen comes through the mirror and kills Trevor. Here's his guts all over the bathroom. And a little college girl comes in and she's like, oh, are you okay? So she sees that his blood and brains have been splattered. And it's brilliant. So let's get into the backstory of this a little bit now that I've basically done the rundown. So the backstory of the Candyman is he was a young man born into a slave family who was then bought by a wealthy family, which I'm not sure if all of them were bought. I think it was just him. I think it was just him that was bought. And he was basically sold to the European family because he was an amazing artist, guys. Like, he was an amazing painter. Like, think of Vincent Van Gogh or Monet. He's an amazing artist, amazing painter. And for the 18th century, that's saying something. Because you had like Michelangelo and a lot of other terrific, fantastic artists. So anyway, this young man sold to this wealthy family. And he's given the task of doing a portrait on the wealthy family's young daughter. She wasn't that young. I think she's like 17, 16, something like that. So she's young for me. But honestly, she's probably looking for a husband at this point in her life. It's the 18th century. They don't live that long. Anyways, she gets the hots for him. He gets the hots for her. They begin an unforbidden love. Things get hot and heavy. She gets pregnant. Now, here comes the bad. That's not okay in the 18th century. He was there to do a job. He was there to do a portrait of the young lady, not impregnate her with the seed. How about that? So townsfolk got extremely, extremely brutal and extremely violent and extremely nasty, ruthless. Like, they didn't care. And they ended up chasing the young man into the woods. They cut his hand off. They smeared him in honey. And they basically got the attention of a bunch of killer bees. And that was how he was killed. So bees are a very, very big part of the movie. Now, I just want to say this real quick. I'm petrified of bees because I'm allergic to them. I know a lot of people are petrified of bees. But just because you're petrified of bees, don't let that stop you from watching this film. And as you can tell, what I'm saying is watching this film, not watching this movie, because this is a film. To me, this is a work of art. This movie has everything in it that I would love to have. It has scares. It even has some jump scares that scared me. It has conflict. It has research and information. It has a strong character base. Everyone plays their characters extremely, extremely well. There's some bias to Johnny Todd. But everyone else does a really, really, really good job. And it just makes the entire film. And that's what I'm a little worried about with this remake, I will have to say. A lot of people that know me know that I don't really like remakes. Sorry. I mean, I like some. Some are okay. I don't hate all of them. I just hate some of them. Like, one that I really hate is, like, Friday the 13th from 2009. To me, that wasn't a remake. That was a cash grab. But then there are also amazing remakes, like the remake of The Evil Dead, which I thought spectacular. So you got to go in it thinking that it's either going to be really, really good or it's going to tank and it's not going to be so good. So if you're like me, you may want to wait for it to come out on demand or rental, one of your streaming sites, something like that. Going out and paying for it is probably not going to be your best bet. I will have to say I really enjoy Jordan Peele's perspective and his reality on things. He is a very creative mind in the horror industry right now. And he just does it so creatively and with such a different pizzazz that it makes you wanting more and more and more of his work. I cannot wait to see what he does for horror in the next couple of years. Because if he keeps it up, he's going to be great. One of the great ones. Wes Craven, John Carpenter, all the Stanley Kubrick, all of those fine young people, he's going to end up following in their footsteps. He keeps going. So I really do and really, really do enjoy his writing and his take and his perspective on things. So, also, Candyman 2, Farewell to the Flesh, was the second Candyman. I think it came out in 95? And it didn't do as as well as everyone was hoping, unfortunately, but I mean, it did have a okay storyline, but I don't know, somebody like me who really doesn't like sequels, who really doesn't like remakes, I don't really like it, but that's not a shocker right there. Now, back to the nitty-gritty, meat and potatoes of it all. This movie, everything that you need, want, long for, hope for, and horror movie. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. This movie is a supernatural horror. Not just a horror movie. It's not just a slasher movie. It's a supernatural horror. That's what it is. No more, no less. That's what it is. And I have to say, it does its job extremely well in that perspective. They just do such an amazing job. Such a great job. And it's so intriguing to me, yet refreshing to go back and watch this movie, because every time I go back over and over and over, it holds people. It really does. For being as old as it is, it holds up. It does. Don't knock me on it. It holds up. The only thing I would say that doesn't hold up about it is the whole project thing. Because, like, we're trying really hard to eliminate segregation and things of that nature. So I wouldn't really say that was okay and that was a carried over component. I really wouldn't use it. I would kind of shy away from it a little bit just because it's known as the urban ghetto area, so to speak. And also, I want to clear something up with people. Just because they're an urban area, I mean, they're a ghetto area. And this area was considered extremely dangerous, yes. There was somebody that was walking around claiming to be the Candyman, and he was killing innocent people. Yes, that's true. But I just think the whole concept of the whites live on this side and the blacks live in completely green is very twisted way of thinking, very twisted way of mind, and I really don't see the point, and I don't really appreciate it. So that's something that can definitely be taken out for me. Maybe they will take it out in the remake. You never know. You don't know unless you're the writer or an actor or somebody else. And if you want to, go ahead. Go on Scary Cats on Facebook. Just kidding. You're never going to let us know because you're probably never going to hear us. Yeah. In other words, I will have to say, I hope I have shed a new light, a little bit more information. Oh, sorry. One thing I did want to mention to you guys, lovely folks, is that this movie was actually based off a short story from a man that we all know, we all love. Not talking about Alfred Hitchcock. I'm talking about Clive Barker. Good job, Clive. And he wrote the short story, and it became a phenomenon and took off into what is now known as the Candyman franchise. I love it. Some people might not love it. I know Daniel likes it. I'm personally going to go ahead and give this movie a good old 9 clouds. Because he doesn't have a hand, he has clouds. I'm going to go ahead and give it 9 clouds. Other than that, I have no idea what we're doing next week. I will let everyone know when I know. Daniel is my sidekick. He is picking the movie. So he will let us know. And as soon as I know, you guys will know. But as for that, it's been another episode of Scary Cats. I am your host, Mindy. Hooty hoo. Have a great week. Be happy. Be healthy. Make great choices. And listen to everything else we have here on the Unscripted Podcast Network. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Take a little walk to the edge of town and go across the track where the viaduct looms like a bird of doom as it shifts and cracks, where secrets lie in the border fires and the humming wires. Yeah, man, you know you're never coming back. Across the square, across the bridge, across the mills, across the stacks, on a gathering storm comes a tall, handsome man in a dusty black coat with a red right hand.